Hello, welcome to Weekly Dose with Dr. Uday, where all your questions for your primary care doctor are answered. Our goal is to help our listeners make their wellness a priority and live out long, enjoyable, and fulfilling lives.
All right, we are on. Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us on this week's episode of Weekly Dose with Dr. Uday. I have a treat for you. We are going to be talking about heavy vaginal bleeding. I get a lot of this complaint in my primary care office, and I have Dr. Durwadi here with us today. She's going to be giving us all the deets on it. We'll be kind. So you guys, it's going to be really good. So before we get started into the main event, I'll start with introductions. So for those of you that don't know me, I am Dr. Uday. I'm a board certified family medicine physician. I am based in Martinsburg, West Virginia. I own a primary care practice, namely Apple Valley Family Medicine. And I also own an aesthetic practice. And my goal is to have my patients not only feeling good, but looking good. So let's get right into it. All right, so we have Dr. Taiwo Durwadi here with us today. Let me tell you a little bit about her. She's a board-certified OB-GYN based in South Suburban area of Chicago. She's the CEO founder of Dardor Medical Group. Her passion is preventative medicine, and this is because she believes it helps women lead healthier lives. She fosters this through education, which she does through her YouTube channel on Common Knowledge. So Dr. Durwadi, thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Uday.
Thank you.
Very nice to put a face to the name.
Oh, yes. Thank you. I know, right?
Yeah.
All right. So let's get right into it. So what is menorrhagia, or as we call it, or defined heavy vaginal bleeding?
Menorrhagia is heavy periods, simply. It's every month. It's regular. It's when your period is supposed to come. It's just very heavy. Now, there are some women who will describe their periods, and I would tell them, that sounds heavy. And they're like, well, that's normal. So heavy period is when a woman perceives that her periods are heavy. So if she feels like, you know, I feel like I'm bleeding out, then your periods are heavy. I'm going through my pads, then your periods are heavy. I'm changing almost every hour to 2 hours, your periods are heavy. So any perception that this bleeding is heavy means your periods are heavy. And if you're passing blood clots too, huge blood clots, you know, you get in the shower and you just feel like it's running down like water, your periods are heavy. So menorrhagia is heavy periods. Now, people will see me for different kinds of bleeding, but just to narrow it down to what we're discussing today, your periods are heavy. That's what menorrhagia is.
Okay, so then I guess the next question is, what causes it?
Oh, great question. So many different things. let me go down like the systems.
Sure.
Your periods are coming from your uterus. So now we're not talking about bleeding outside your period. We're focusing just on period bleeding during your periods. Mm-hmm. So they come from the uterus. Mm-hmm. The uterus is the womb, or another name is the womb. Mm-hmm. Now, some women have always had heavy periods ever since they started having periods in their teenage years. They will tell me that my periods have always been heavy. So it could be a genetic thing. They say my mom also had heavy periods. The second most common cause is fibroids. Fibroids are tumors within the uterus. They are growths. Most of the time, 90% of the time, they are not cancer, but they just make your periods heavy. Imagine the uterus is a balloon. And then within the balloon, you have like a growth of the balloon, an extra growth of the balloon. And so when you're shedding the lining of your uterus, when you're having your period, you're shedding from that growth too. So that makes your periods heavy. Another thing is medication. Some people have copper IUD. Mm-hmm. Copper IUD makes your periods very heavy and very painful. Mm-hmm. I actually don't place copper IUDs in my office. If anyone is asking for IUD for birth control, I try to counsel them. I try to counsel them that copper IUD will make their periods heavier and more painful. And I don't believe that any medication I give patients should make things worse for them, especially their periods. So copper is another thing. Blood thinners. Some people maybe have heart issues, you know, or blood clots in the past, and then their doctor put them on a blood thinner. So that can make their periods heavier because now they're not coagulating as well. You know, unfortunately, another thing, the big bad one is cancer. You know, uterine cancer could cause heavy periods. The only difference is that cancer is going to not be regular. That's what separates it from, you know, menorrhagia. It will be irregular, random, heavy, unpredictable type of bleeding. So if we're talking about regular periods, it's your time of the month. It lasts your 5-6 days. It's just super heavy. The most common cause are those things we've mentioned, the fibroids, you know. There's also something called adenomyosis. I know everyone has heard of endometriosis. Mm-hmm. So endometriosis is when the endometrium, the inside of the uterus, the inside of the womb, and is called endometrium. When tissue from the inside of the womb lands outside the uterus, that's endometriosis. When it lands outside on the ovaries, when it lands down in the vagina, that's endometriosis, and that causes a lot of pain. Now, adenomyosis is when that tissue lands within the balloon, lands in the muscle of the uterus itself. That's adenomyosis, and that makes your periods heavy because you're not only bleeding from the inside of the uterus, you're also shedding from those areas on the outside of the uterus.
Gotcha. Now, I don't know if you touched on it, but is there a genetic predisposition to this?
There hasn't been a, you have this gene, so you have heavy periods. That's anecdotal. So people say, my mom had heavy periods. My sister has heavy periods. So that's the, as close as we can get to the genetic correlation. So like a familial thing where people are have heavy periods in the family. But that doesn't mean that there is a specific identified condition that we know of in a family. Aside from the easy bruising ones, the hemophilias and things like that. But that's a genetic bleeding disorder. But for periods, not so much. Just anecdotal evidence.
Gotcha. Now, complications. Are there any complications from?
Oh, yes. the most common one is, you know, my patient comes in for a routine annual and I am discussing her periods. And I'm like, you know, let me just check your blood count. I mean, the way you're describing it, you're like, it's normal. That's what happens. But I just feel like it's heavy. And then I check her blood count and I get a frantic call from the lab that her hemoglobin, her blood count is 6.4 or 5.6, you know. So that's like from years and years and years of heavy periods. Your body is sort of adjusted to it. So you don't know that your blood count is that low. You just know that you're more tired. You're like, oh, I worked hard today. Or you don't have as much energy to do all the things you want to do. So in that case, I admit my patients to the hospital. I give them a blood transfusion. And they always say the same thing. They're like, I didn't know how bad I felt until I felt so much better. So just, you know, your physical energy, your overall wellness. Blood count of 5.6 can cause a sudden heart attack, you know, because you don't have enough, you know, blood flow in your body. So complications are, you know, needing a blood transfusion, being admitted to the hospital, vascular damage, so your heart damage, kidney damage, things like that. Those things are pretty big. What other complications are there? You know, fainting, just walking and just dropping and fainting, things like that from having low blood count. So I ask every woman about their periods, and if it sounds heavy, I just get a blood count just to see where they are. And if they're normal, we're like, okay, your periods are not heavy. You're fine.
Okay. So, and then I guess finally, how is it treated?
Great question. I apologize that I don't let you finish your question. I guess I'm too excited.
No, you're fine. You're perfectly fine.
It depends on what's causing it. So in the case of patients with blood thinners, it's going to be difficult to take them off their medication, you know. And so in those cases, we look for if we've examined the uterus, you know, I usually do a workup. So I start with their blood count and I fix the blood work. If, you know, there are issues, I give them iron. I give my patients blood if they need blood transfusion. And, you know, then we do an ultrasound. Is the issue coming from the uterus? Are there fibroids in the uterus? How big are they? How accessible are they? If the fibroids are, if you think of the uterus like a balloon again, and the fibroid is inside the balloon, then there's a small procedure I can do, just go in through the vagina, into the uterus, get the fibroid out of the balloon. You know, that one can be done outpatient. You go home the same day. Sometimes we can do it in the office. You go home the same day, you feel better. And we don't have to do any medications. So if that's, if there's a fibroid within the cavity, if the fibroid is on the outside of the balloon, there's so many different ways we treat fibroids these days. We can go take it out. That's where we do a surgery. We make an incision in your uterus, take out the fibroid, sew your uterus back up. That one is a big surgery. Some women see their fibroids come back within 5-6 years. The other one we have now is we can do a CT scan, find the blood flow, the blood vessels that go to the fibroid, and block those blood vessels. So once we block those, as long as you're not trying to have kids still, if you're trying to have children, it changes our treatment plan. Then we block the blood flow to those fibroids. They don't get smaller, but then they don't get bigger. And that really reduces people's bleeding as well. A new one that just came out not so long ago is one where we can shrink the fibroids. I'm so excited about this one. It's still a surgery. You still go to sleep, but the recovery is faster because we just use a probe, deploy a laser. It desiccates the fibroid, basically breaks it down. And that way the fibroid shrinks over time, doesn't grow, doesn't have the opportunity to grow again. You know, the surgery is maybe an hour. You go home the same day. Within a week, you're back to normal activity. And that also reduces people's flow. So fibroids, there are so many neat ways to treat that. If it's not fibroids and it's something like adenomyosis, meaning there's no specific, this is the issue. It's just the uterus looks like there's adenomyosis and there's extra tissue inside it. We can do birth control for those women. For women who don't want birth control, there's a medication called tranexamic acid. You take it on the first day of your period and you stop it on the last day of your period. So it's not an ongoing medication that you have to take. You only take it during your periods and it helps to reduce your bleeding. For women who have copper IUD, we take the copper IUD out and give them a different form of birth control. You know, our what we find in the course of the workup sort of determines what we treat. So let's say we do everything. What's important to do for people with heavy periods, if they're older, is a biopsy of the lining of the uterus. You always want to rule out cancer as a cause, even if it only happens during their periods and it otherwise looks like just heavy periods. You want to take a look inside the uterus with a camera called a hysteroscopy. So a hyst is the uterus, the scope is the camera. So hysteroscopy, you look inside the uterus. There are big masses, that helps you determine your plan of care. If there are no big masses, you take a sample, you send it to the lab. Are these normal looking cells or are these cancer looking cells? And once you've ruled all that out, then you can start saying this is our treatment plan. So if the issue is fibroids, multiple ways to treat it. If the issue is IUD, you take out the IUD. One neat one we can do for people who don't have fibroids, who don't have an IUD, who are not on blood or who are on blood thinners, and we can't give them birth control or things like that, is an ablation, endometrial ablation. And we put a device inside the uterus and we burn the lining of the uterus. And this can be done in the office. I actually really, really like doing this in the office because you don't have to go to sleep. Maybe you take one day off, you're back to a normal activity the next day. And most women will see a 90% reduction in their bleeding. And, you know, if you're in your 40s and let's say you're getting closer to menopause, it's a great option because then it bridges you into menopause. If you're in your 30s, the idea is that, you know, you might resume bleeding again after 5-6 years, but it should not be as heavy as what you're used to having. So if there are no fibroids to take out, you know, you don't want to take medication, you don't want to go to sleep, the endometrial ablation is a great option. And the biggest thing that people see is just either their bleeding stops entirely or it's such a reduction that they maybe have a panty liner during their periods. So a lot of women like that option as well. There's also something called a DNC. I'm sure everyone has heard of a DNC before. It's called dilation and curettage. So let's say someone who still wants to have kids. She doesn't want the lining of her uterus burned, you know. She doesn't want to have surgery, a big surgery. A DNC is also something we can do outpatient. You go to sleep, you're done within a couple hours. You're back to normal activity the next day. We just scrape the lining. We scrape it. The only issue is with that is that it's a temporary solution. So maybe in 5-6 months, your bleeding is back to what it used to be, you know. So let's say there are no fibroids. There's nothing else in there that can explain the heavy bleeding. We do a DNC. That will reduce your flow for a few months. But I see people coming back saying their bleeding has returned to being heavy. And so we have to come up with other ways to do that. My absolute favorite, though, is the IUD, the progestin IUD. I'm sure everyone has heard of Mirena.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I love it. I don't know why. It's just my favorite. I think I know why. You don't have to go to sleep for that. You know, it's not a surgery. It's a simple procedure in the office. I put a little numbing medication in. And most people are talking through the procedure by the time I'm done numbing them. So they're like, oh, your IUD's in. They're like, you're done? So I like it because it's reversible. It's a medication. You can take it out if you don't like it after a few months. It makes your periods lighter and it makes your periods less painful. So people with fibroids have painful periods. So let's say the fibroids are on the outside, you don't want to have surgery, we can reduce the effect of the fibroids. We can put an IUD within the uterus. It will release progesterone into the uterus. That progesterone stops your uterus from filling up so much with blood. And so that when your period comes, your period flow is lighter. That progesterone is also an anti-inflammatory, so it reduces pain. So your periods are less painful. It can last up to 7 years now. The IUDs they're doing these days can last up to 7 years. So if you're like, I'm done with childbearing, I don't want anything that's going to take me out of work, I don't want to have to take a day off, I don't want to have to go to sleep. It's the most convenient, the simplest to do, and it has a long-lasting effect. And the fact that it's reversible gives people comfort. Like, oh, okay, if I don't like it, we can just take it out. So that's what I have in my toolbox.
There's a lot of treatments. So that's awesome. So guys, you've heard it. You have a lot of options on treatment for heavy periods. So the other one, I guess I always ask about actionable tips. So are there any actionable tips that you give for people that have heavy periods?
Great question. I always tell people to track their periods. The biggest thing I find is that what people are describing as heavy periods is actually abnormal bleeding. So they think that their periods are coming every month, but it's actually every 2 weeks, or it's actually every 3 weeks. So tracking your periods helps me, the physician, to say, okay, this is normal cycling, this is your normal cycle, or this is outside your cycle and not normal at all, and our plan of care needs to be different. So track your cycles. Make sure it's every 28 to 30 days. There are some women who are 25 to 35 days, you know, within that range is fine. As long as you're not 19 days, you know, from your first period to your next period, you're not 20 days. 25 is okay as long as it's consistent. As far as 35, as long as it's consistent. As long as it's not 40 days, 45 days, we start dealing with abnormal bleeding. So track your periods. The other thing is I always tell people to just monitor, you know, their flow. Are you having to change your pad every hour? People are like, oh, I change my pad every hour, but I'm like, are you filling it up? Is it soaking? Like, oh no, I just go to the bathroom and change it. So kind of keep an eye on things. Don't assume that your periods are normal until unless they're really not that heavy. But if you're changing every time you feel that is abnormal, then we should investigate it. I don't know that there are any diets or any exercises or any medications. I would just say eat a diet rich in iron so that even if you are losing a lot of blood during your period, you're getting a little bit of iron back. Take some iron supplements. Let it be part of your multivitamin daily. But no special, like, if you eat this meal or take this supplement, your periods are going to be. I know everyone always looking for that.
Right? It'll be too easy. All right. So, guys, have it. Thank you so much, Dr. Durwati. I'm actually going to switch gears, and the last couple of questions are going to be more about you. So, and I always ask this question, why do you do what you do, Doc?
That's a great question. I find that I love teaching. I'm always teaching my patients. We're always having a conversation about, what is normal and what is not. Even if they're not my patients, just a random person, I'm like, no, this is actually the issue. This is actually the mechanism of action. I'm always kind of teaching. I find that I want women to know stuff. I find that a lot of people don't know what I think they should know as a woman for their health. That's my specialty, nothing else. So that's why I started the show Uncommon Knowledge, because things are common knowledge to me, but they're not common knowledge to everyone. So I'm always teaching. I feel like people can make better decisions about their health if they know what's going on, instead of just saying, take this medication and see if it works. So I love educating my patients, especially about preventative stuff. There's so many things we can prevent. I find it really sad when I see people and things are advanced or things are really bad. I'm like, seeing a doctor earlier can help us prevent this. So I love teaching, it's fulfilling, and I love seeing my women thrive after they're educated, you know?
Awesome. Your patients are definitely lucky to have you.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, and then the other one, this is kind of outside the box one, and it's what would you tell your 20-year-old self or your younger self after all that you've experienced, just in general?
I had this conversation with someone not too long ago. It was a group of us. It
Yeah.
was a group of us. We were all teenagers at this church. So it was all, we were kind of doing a reunion. And we were like,
That's
when we
good.
were together, we were in our 16, 17. And our youth leader, who brought us all together, asked the question, what would you have done differently when you were 16, 17, that based on all the experience you've gathered now? And my answer was that I would have paid more attention or made more effort to cultivate relationships.
That's
As a 16, 17-year-old, I was laser focused. I'm going to med school. I'm going to college. Don't bother me. I got to study. I have work. I was so, which was good for
it
studies, good for studies.
was needed.
But then, getting to the field you're in, you have to interact with people. You have to build those skills. So I was forced to do that, at some point. And I feel like I would have, if I had developed those skills earlier on, paid more attention to making an effort. You're not going out of your way to do crazy things. You're not buying gifts for people. You're just paying attention. Hey, how are you doing today? How is your daughter you talk to me about last week? How is your husband now doing? Like, pay more attention to cultivating relationships. I think I would have had a smoother ride.
I would say the same. It's that value in relationships, and realizing that everybody's on a journey and a path, but you have people that have done it before you, and if you only knew to either ask or communicate, you could figure it out quicker. But I always say it's better late than never. It's more just, hey, and that's why I asked the question actually, because you've so much from everybody's experiences. So I thought that was a good one to begin to ask. So thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Thank you. So now I guess how can people find you or connect with you? So anybody that wants to find out more about you and all that.
Absolutely. So the name of my practice is Dadur, Dardur, Gynecology or Dadur Medical Group. You can go to dadurmedical.com. You can contact us there. You can go to Dadur Gynecology on Instagram, Dadur Gynecology on Facebook, Dadur Gynecology on YouTube. You can check out my YouTube channel first if you want to get a feel of how I do things and things like that. And on Google as well. I have blogs on Google. You can read about what we do. And so anywhere on the internet, you search Dardur, you'll find me there.
Yay, heard it. So we got so many gems. I'm gonna definitely be listening to this again.
Oh, great. Thank you.
So much. So and then for listeners out there, if you're looking for a primary care doctor, a quality primary care doctor, someone that's looking, Apple Valley Family Medicine is accepting new patients. You can give us a call at 304-350-1087. And you can also find us online at www.applevalleyfamilymed.com. Please like this video, share it. We're actually on YouTube, Facebook, and we're on a podcast, and it's Weekly Dose with Dr. Uday. Please share it because there, you know, there's somebody out there that this could benefit. And thank you so much for joining us. Dr. Durwadi, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. This was fun.
It was so fun. So you guys have a good week. Bye.
If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, please take a moment to subscribe, share, and include a review. Don't forget, you're worth it, and your health is our priority. Tune in for another episode next week, and have a great rest of your week.